Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Oh, come on, come on, come on, somebody. You got a shout left in you? Come on. I am super excited about this series that we're going to get into tonight as we begin to talk about hearing the voice of God, how to hear from God. And Jeremiah, I'll tell you, because we talk about series long before I minister them, would you say on average, how many months would you say I'm talking about an upcoming series with you before we actually get into it? How many months would you say?
I think it could be anywhere between 4 months and 6 months.
Four and 6 months. So when you hear a message or a series of messages, you're not hearing something that was thrown together the Saturday night before Sunday. So I'm praying about what's coming. I have conversations with Pastor Jeremiah about coming, what's coming, sometimes with the whole pastoral staff. And he's praying about the worship and what the Lord would have him sing during the series so that the message is complementing the worship and the worship the message. That's why people can't stop you out in the foyer and put in a request for Sunday. These things are planned months in advance, and it's not based on my request or anyone's request. We're seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want the song list to be? What's the series to be? When is it to be? So there's a lot of prayer that goes into what comes from the platform. But Jeremiah and I were messing around. I'm going to get to the word just as we normally do here in a minute, but Jeremiah and I were talking about how God is speaking, and he's speaking in your life, whether you know it or not. The question is are you recognizing his voice? Are you picking up that he's speaking? And I'm going to show you through scripture how to mature and grow in your confidence that you're hearing from God. Because I would imagine 99% of you would say, thought I heard from God, wasn't real sure that was the Lord, so I didn't do anything. And then later found out, man, that was God. You ever went through that? If you ever went through that, lift your hand. See, as most everybody in here has gone through that. But imagine what would happen if we would begin to master the recognition of his voice, just like we do all other voices. So I was messing with Pastor Jeremiah about this week, and you actually put some things together, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Would you walk us through that? And
Yeah,
I'm interested in seeing
myself
what you got.
And Jared Carter, who's over our video production. But we got together, and this was all Pastor James's idea, but he's absolutely right. There's sometimes that we do things that we go through life and, you know, and we miss hearing from the Lord, and we get to the other side of something, we go, something told me that I should have, or lose our keys, you know, and the last place we look is where we find them. Something told me they were right there this entire time, where that's the Holy Spirit. The Lord is speaking to you and constantly speaking
Pastor Jeremiah,
to you.
Listen to this. All morning today, since the crack of dawn, I've been looking for some paperwork I got in September. My wife told me, look, check in this drawer of the filing cabinet. She said, check in this cubby where we put stuff to be filed. I could not find it. I came to the office and I went through all the desk drawers. Landon had went through all my desk drawers. Couldn't find it. And so I needed it by like noon today. And so I'm driving down the road back to the house for the second time because I've got to have this paperwork. And I did what I always tell you guys to do first. I prayed. I said, Lord, you know I need this. And I know you know where it's at. I didn't even finish the prayer. And he told me exactly where it was. In my vehicle, I have a console. And the console has this little organizer in it, right? Where I can keep some order in my life. But the organizer has a handle. And the Lord told me, lift the handle and pull up the organizer. It's underneath the bottom. And I was so confident I did it driving down the road. I pulled up, and there it was, just in an instant. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And you cannot tell me that God didn't speak, because how would I've ever known to look under an organizer in my console? Just as soon as I asked, boom, there it was. And I didn't say something told me. I knew that was the Lord. And you were saying.
Well, something told me to tell you that the papers were in the organizer. Anyway, we put together some things about recognizing the voice of God. And there's so many voices, you know, sometimes my mom calls me, not sometimes, she calls me often, but my mom will call me and she'll leave a voicemail. She'll say, "Hey, son, this is your mom." And then she'll, 99.9% of the time, she'll follow it up with, "Well, you already know that, you know, I just said son and you know my voice." But if your mom calls you and you go, "Who's this?" then she's probably not your mom, or hasn't been your mom that long. Anyway, but my mom will call and she'll say, "Hey, son, this is your mom, but you probably already knew that because you know my voice." And there's certain voices that we hear and we've heard throughout our lives that we know exactly, whenever we hear it, we know exactly who that is. I'm going to play a couple clips for you. See if you can guess these voices. Play that first one.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Anybody know whose voice that is? If you know it, yell it out, yell it out, yell it out. Martin Luther King. We know that voice. We not only know that speech, but we know that voice. And when we hear it, we say, "That's Martin Luther King." We got another one. Play that second clip.
"Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. I am your father."
Who is that? Who is it? Anybody know any Star Wars fans? Darth Vader. One more time. Some of y'all didn't know who that was. That's the extra safe folk. I don't watch Star Wars. I only watch the Bible Experience. Anyway. That was Darth Vader. Play the next clip for him.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers.
I'm Morgan Freeman. Anybody know Morgan Freeman's voice? Everybody said it's Morgan Freeman. Who didn't know it was Morgan Freeman?
No, I didn't.
Anybody?
I knew.
All right. Morgan Freeman had this stint of doing a bunch of voiceovers. I was glad for him. Play the next clip for him.
"And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country."
We need that voice again. JFK. You know, here's the thing, and we're going to get to the message. Not only did you recognize the voice because of the voice, you recognize the voice because of the content. Because in each one of those cases, we could have quoted what was said without using the voice, and you would have said, "They said this." And that's what we're really going to get into in this series, is that the Lord's voice doesn't sound the same for each one of us. In other words, if you could hear him in your spirit audibly, he would not sound the same to Jeremiah as it would to me. Because just as unique as we are to him, his voice is unique to us. Hallelujah. But the one sure way that we know when we're hearing from God is by the content of the words that are being spoken. Because there are many voices in the world, and the scripture says none are without significance. The question is, am I recognizing the one that's coming from God? Are y'all ready to get in this? Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Let's stand together as we reverence the reading of his word. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. And I want to go to the 8th chapter. Well, that was fun and it made a point, right? Mark chapter number 8. We'll look at it I love Wednesdays. The worship on Wednesday nights and just the atmosphere, it's just supernatural. And I love gathering with you guys on Wednesday. Doesn't take away from Sunday. I'm thankful, though, when we either buy CenturyLink or build. I feel like one or the other is going to happen next year. In my spirit, I really believe next year is the year that something's going to give, and we're going to be able to get back together all at one time again. So we can, I mean, I appreciate having to be at three services on Sunday, but we're going to be full by January 1st at three services. Then what we're going to do? So we got to make a move. Amen. But I love Wednesday because there's no time restraint. You know, we don't get out here at midnight, so it's just beautiful. I just love it. It's amazing. Just kidding, visitors. Just kidding. Like, what? I only brought a canned good. How long I got to stay? All right. Mark 8, verse number 18. Jesus said, Mark 8, verse 18, having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your spirit. Come to lead us into all truth. I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, all spiritual understanding. I ask, Father, that you would speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. I remember picking up my wife when we were dating. We still date. Some people date to marry, but I'm married to date. So we have date night every week. But I remember dating my wife, pick her up and say, hey, you know, what time you need to be home? You know, because I got a lot I want to talk about. And so I know that we're a little later in the service than we normally are at this point. Want to open the scripture and we get into it. And I was thinking just now, I need to ask the congregation, what time you need to be home? Hallelujah, because I want to have an amazing time in his word. So what time you need to be home? We read before the prayer in Mark 8, verse 18, where the word says, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this word on your notes, and that is the word heart. Just write that word out, H-E-A-R-T, write out the word heart. And you notice, if you look at that word carefully, you'll find three words within that word. It begins with the word hear. Right in the middle of the word heart is the word ear. And right at the end of the word heart is art. And so having an ear to hear is the art of being a Christian. I'm gonna say that again. Having an ear to hear is the art of being a Christian. Say that out loud. Having an ear to hear is the art of being a Christian. And you need to know that God wants to speak to you. Number one, that if you feel like you have not heard from the Lord, if you feel like he has not given you any direction in your life, you need to know, number one, that you are not excluded from the Lord speaking to you. He has a desire and intent to speak to all of us. The question is, are we recognizing? Now, turn with me to the Gospel of John. I want to go to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. And we're going to talk tonight a lot about recognition. Are you recognizing? I had to subtitle this series. I'd call this service voice recognition. Do you recognize the voice of God? Because I am convinced, if you're born again, that he is speaking. And what's really interesting is I was studying and preparing for this series, I found that even if you are lost, God can speak to you. Now somebody say, what? How do you think you got saved? Amen. In Acts chapter 10, God spoke to Cornelius, a man that was an honorable man, but he was not saved. He did not know Jesus as Savior. God spoke to him, and as a result of God speaking to him, he was saved. So if he would speak to, you know, a person that was not even born again, and of course he speaks to us to lead us into salvation. But you need to know that God's not overlooking you. He's not saying, "I'm not going to speak to you." And so we're going to talk about that. But are you recognizing the voice of God? Now let's watch this in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. If you're there, say amen. And we'll begin here in verse number 4. This is where Jesus describes our relationship, the relationship that we have with him and with the Father, through the comparison of a shepherd and his sheep. Of all the things that God could compare us to in Scripture, the one thing that we are compared to more than anything else in Scripture is sheep. And the one thing that he relates himself as in our relationship more than anything else is that of the shepherd. So that's the foundation of what we read here in John 10. Watch it with me in verse number 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Read it with me. For they know his voice. For they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So notice here that there are many voices, but what Jesus is saying is that his sheep will recognize his voice, that his sheep will know his voice. This is something that Christy and I have prayed for our lives. It's a prayer that we've used to pray for other people, particularly those that were wondering if they were hearing from God, wondering if they were being misled, thinking this may be the Lord speaking to me in my heart. Am I hearing from God? Is this an unction from the Lord? How do I know, Pastor, if I'm hearing from God or if I'm not? This is a powerful verse to claim. All of the promises of God are yea and amen, according to 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Go before the Lord. Carry his word to him in prayer. Lord, you said that as your sheep, that I would know your voice. You said that the voice of strangers I would not know. So I thank you right now by faith that I do not know the voice of strangers, that I will not be deceived, I will not be misled. But Lord, I thank you that I am sensitive to your voice because you are my shepherd and you said that I would know your voice. That is a beautiful and powerful prayer to pray consistently, especially when you're wondering whether or not you're hearing from God. Are you hearing him saying to you? So, well, watch this. He goes on to say, down in verse number 16, let's just drop down for time's sake. He says in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and this was speaking of Israel, them also I must bring, that would be the Gentiles, you and I, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So what would make us the same as old covenant saints or the natural seed of Abraham, Israel, is that we all know the voice of God. He said that all of my sheep will know my voice. Drop down to verse number 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Notice that. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now notice that if Jesus' voice is known, and he says that my sheep know my voice and they follow me, then that would mean the Lord is leading me in life, that I'm being led by his voice. And the reason I make that point is because not only do I want you to know through the word how to recognize the voice of God through the content of that voice, but I want you to recognize the voice of God by the character of that voice. You know, you may have had someone at some point that maybe you were in some kind of relationship, just getting into a relationship or friendship, or maybe it was one of your children that spoke to you in a tone that you absolutely rejected. And so you had to set the record real straight. Don't talk to me like that. Has anybody here ever had to tell somebody, that's not how you talk to me? I'll respect you and I'll listen to you, but you're not going to talk to me like that. You may have told your children, don't you come to me with that kind of tone. What you were saying was, is that I reject the character in that tone. That's hostile. And I'm not going to be moved by that type of tone. I'm not going to be motivated by that kind of tone. You're not going to get a good response out of me if you give me this kind of tone. And so you begin to raise your children recognizing that their words are powerful, and that their words, you know, they should be known by the character of the words that they speak and the content of the words they speak. What I want you to do is begin to recognize God's voice through the content of His word. I'm going to show you how to do that, but also by the character of His word. Don't think the enemy won't try to speak to you. The enemy will absolutely speak to you. That's why we pray, according to the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. What evil? The evil of the temptation and the lies that are in the world, and the deceptive voice of the enemy trying to lure me into a trap. So the enemy can speak to you just like anybody else can. But one thing that I have discovered from His word and an experience is that the enemy's voice is a driving voice that comes from behind me. And the Lord's voice is a drawing voice that is in front of me. The difference is that when God speaks, He will lead you. When the enemy speaks, He will drive you. Anytime you feel driven to do something, like you're being pushed to do something, you need to say, wait a minute, that's not the character of God. That would be like my children using a tone with me, or my husband or my wife using a tone with me to drive me to do their will, when that's not what moves me. And God knows what moves you, and He will never use a tone that no one else would use if they had respect for you. God's not going to disrespect you when He speaks to you. So you need to, number one, know the content of His words, and then number two, recognize that there's a characteristic about the way God speaks to me. And if you'll ever, and we're going to talk about more than that, but if you just got those two things down, okay, what is the content of what God would say to me? How can I weigh what He's saying by its content? And then number two, how can I weigh the character of what I'm hearing, these voices and these unctions and these thoughts? How do I know this is the Lord? Judge it by content, judge it by character. Here Jesus is saying, I'm before you and you follow my voice. So He's a gentleman that leads us. He's not a driving force behind us, pushing us into something that we didn't want to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Now, and I've had people say that they felt like the Lord was that driving force that was pushing them into a decision. And, you know, whether or not that was God or not, I'm not going to tell someone, but I just know from His word, Jesus is before me and He is leading me and I'm following Him. I'm not being driven by Him. Watch this in verse 28. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So here in John 10, we get this perfect lesson on hearing the voice of God, and the confidence that because I am His sheep, and no man can take me away, no man has the power to pluck me out of this relationship, that I have a relationship with Jesus, and in this relationship, He has promised me that I will know His voice. Hallelujah. How can you have a relationship with someone and not know their voice? How can you have communion with someone and you don't know their voice? God wants you to know His voice. You need to know right now where you are. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not a preacher. You don't need to be a preacher to hear the voice of God. Matter of fact, we're all preachers. You may not be called to pastor, but every one of us have been called to preach His word. Everybody that's a believer is a preacher. You don't have to be in full-time ministry to hear the voice of God. Because you are His sheep, He wants you to hear His voice. He will speak to you over big things. He will speak to you over little things. He can speak to you over where you lost your keys, and He can speak to you when it comes to who it is you're supposed to marry. Yeah. Be a good time for somebody to say, oh, Lord. Big things and little things, He will speak and He will lead and He will guide. If we'll just recognize His voice, seek His voice and recognize it. If you would, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. I want to go to the 19th chapter. Luke chapter number 19. And I want to talk about this whole recognizing Jesus, recognizing his voice, recognizing his word. You know, it'd be bad for something to be set in front of you by God and you didn't recognize it. A person put in your life by God that you didn't recognize, that you didn't recognize God had planted that individual in your life. Years ago, the Lord planted this person in my life, and I met him just incidentally. You know, just like you just meet somebody. It's a casual meeting, and the Lord, there came a time in my life, just kept putting this gentleman on my mind, and I didn't even know him, but I couldn't get him off my mind. And then so I needed some work done, and he was a contractor, and he could fulfill what I needed. And so I asked a guy that knew him. I said, "Hey, can you give me his number?" And he said, "Oh, you don't want to call that guy. You know, he's too big for this job, and it costs you too much." So I asked the second person. I said, "Hey, do you have this guy's number?" "Oh, no, you don't want to call that guy. Big company. You got a little small job here. You need to call somebody else. Here's who you need to call." Ask a third person. I said, "Hey, could you give me this person's name and number?" He said, "Ah, that's a big company. You got a little small job. I'd leave him alone. He's too busy. Take forever to get to you." But the Lord would not leave me alone. I just kept hearing that you need to call this man, call this man, call this man. And so finally one day, I'm driving down the road and I saw his logo on a sign, and I said, "That's the same guy." And so it had the number on the sign, so I called him up. 2 weeks later we met. We visited the site where I was going to do the work, walked around the site for 1 hour. We're just walking. By the end of that hour, we're both in tears. We're both praising God. There was something I needed I didn't know in my life that he brought. There was something that he needed in his life that I brought. And a friendship was forged that has blessed my life in ways I can't even begin to tell you since that moment. But it was the voice of God that ordered it. It was the voice of God. There are people that are in my life today that God spoke to me about those people and spoke to them likewise, and things were forged. Listen, there may be a person or an opportunity right in front of you right now that God, a path that God wants you to take, but if you don't recognize it, you miss it. If you can't discern what God is saying and what he's trying to do, you could miss an opportunity that would be absolutely life-changing, all because you just didn't recognize what was in front of you. I mean, what a horrible thought. You know, sometimes I think about where I am in life and say, "Lord, I just see what you've done through the things I heard. But what about what I may have missed, Lord? If you've been able to do this with what I heard, what might have been, you know, if I wouldn't have overlooked you in other ways?" And I don't want that happening to you. I don't want that happening to you. As the pastor of this ministry, there is a desire in my heart for every one of you to be able to hear from God. God has the answers to your marriage. God has the answers to your career. God has the answers to what you're supposed to do as far as your education and your future. You don't have to wonder about anything. He will direct you. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he will direct your path. That direction is available to you that could change your life and your family forever. And it would grieve me at the thought that it was right in front of you and you didn't see what was there. So we're gonna be dealing with this: how to hear from God, how to recognize when he's leading and when he's speaking. Watch this. Let me show you an example of this in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. And we'll look at it down in verse number 41. What goes unrecognized in your life leaves your life. What goes unrecognized in your life leaves your life. People leave a lot of things. They leave jobs. They leave churches. They leave relationships. They leave cities. But what they really leave is people. God has made us to be relational. People leave people. If I got up here and said a bunch of foolishness and you got up and walked out, it would likely not be who you were sitting next to. It'd likely be me. I don't want to hear that man no more. I'm getting out of here. You might leave if I wasn't saying nothing foolishness. If you didn't recognize what I was saying and that it might fit your life. Are you hearing him saying to you? So when you don't give recognition to people, When you don't give recognition to things that God has said in your life, those things that are not constantly being recognized, they begin to just ease on out. Even the things in your life that are tangible that you once used in your life, if you're not using it now, you lose it. It's like the old statement goes, what you don't use, you lose. The belt you never wear, you can't find. The shoes you rarely wear, you don't know where they are. But the ones you wear all the time, you know exactly where they are. They're not even in the shelf. They're not even in the cubby because you just wore them. So they're right there where you took them off. What you constantly recognize is always available to you. What you're not recognizing begins to move out of your life. And the place I want to get you to is where you're recognizing the voice of God. I don't want the voice of God to be that distant voice that's been drowned out by all the other voices that you gave more attention to and more weight to until eventually his voice was so mute that you didn't hear. And it wasn't because he wasn't speaking. It was because you weren't recognizing it because you were putting more emphasis on everything else instead of the voice of God. And next thing you know, the voice of God has left your life. It's still in your life, but it's not productive in your life because though it's in your life, it's not recognized in your life. And I want to show you that that's a reality. It's like the woman that had the coin and she lost her coin. And the Bible says, Jesus in this parable says she went through her house. She swept the house. Where's my coin? I know I have this money. Where is it? And she's looking all over the house. She knew the coin was in her house. She knew the coin was in her life, but did not know where. And what drove her crazy is I don't know where this is, even though I know it's in my life. It's like the key. You know you brought them in the house because you got in the house. And the key to the door was on the key ring. So the house was locked. Let me backtrack. Yes, the house was locked. I got in the house. I can't find my keys. But at least I know they're in the house. If I just knew where they were in the house. The voice of God is the same way. You know that you're saved. You know when he led you to Jesus. You know when he led you to his word. You know when he led you to church. You know the things that he led you to. So his voice is in your life. I'm just not recognizing it right now because too much clutter's gotten added onto my life and I'm no longer recognizing the voice of God. We got to get back to that place where I'm recognizing the voice of God in my life. Hallelujah. Now watch this in Luke 19, verse number 41. Luke 19, verse 41. Everybody there? And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, that word peace means wholeness, the things which belong to your wholeness, the word peace can be described as nothing is missing, and nothing is broken. Come on, somebody. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. That's peace. Jesus is speaking to a people that have things missing and things that are broken. And Jesus is saying, I came. I was here. I visited you. I was here. It was your day. And there were things that belonged to your life that would make you whole. There were things that belonged in your life that would make you complete. There were things in your life that could fix what was broken. That's what he's saying here when he says, if you only knew the things that belonged to your peace. Imagine a puzzle, 500-piece puzzle that you're putting together on the table, but you get to the end and find out you're missing three pieces. Jesus is showing up to a people that are missing pieces to the puzzle of their life. And he's saying, you don't even realize that the pieces that are missing to your life, I came to bring those pieces. I am here to bring wholeness. And you don't even realize I have what's missing. And that's the reason I'm here. And the things that I have, that they belong to you. They would bring peace to your life. They would bring wholeness to your life. They would bring what you've been missing. They would make whole that which has been broken. But watch this in verse 42. He says, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Why? Because they refuse to recognize it. Verse 44, he says, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not, help me, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. He says, decades and generations will fall because you missed what was brought to you in this visitation. You weren't even aware of what came to you. Jesus is speaking to Israel here, and he's saying, I came and I brought everything you needed that would have made peace, but you didn't even recognize I was here. And now, because of that, generations will fall because you missed the time of your visitation. You don't want to miss God. One decision outside of his will, one decision outside of his word, one decision made by not hearing his voice, now altering the path of your destiny. Now, I'm not one of those that believes, well, you know what, whatever happens, happens. Yeah, whatever happens, happens. But I believe that if I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, that he will direct my path. I don't want to leave everything to chance and say, well, what will happen, no. With every decision, Lord, I need to hear from you. With every decision, I need to be led by you. With every decision, Lord, speak to me. Now, you said if I acknowledge you in all my ways, that you would direct my path. Lord, I'm getting ready to make a decision here, and I need to know that I'm being led by you, because I can only judge this decision by what I'm able to comprehend, by what I'm able to see, what I'm able to hear, what I'm able to think. But Lord, you're all knowing, and you've seen the future, and you know the heart of man. I know what may be coming out of the mouth of a man, but you know what's in the heart of that man. So Lord, I need you to lead me in this so that I'll know I'm making the right decision. And if the Lord says, acknowledge me in all your ways and he will direct your path, he's not going to violate the integrity of his word. He will direct your path. Are you listening when he's directing you? Are you recognizing his voice when he's directing you? Vital. Now watch this. Let's go a little bit further here. Matthew chapter 11. Now God knows how to speak in a voice that you understand. And somebody might say, Pastor, I have never heard the audible voice of God. Okay, welcome to my family. I have never heard the audible voice of God. In other words, I had never heard a voice out here in the room like God heard Moses. I ain't never heard James's. I have never heard the audible voice of God calling my name. But I have heard from my heart, from my inner being, I have heard him lead me. I've heard him speak and give me thoughts and ideas and words and direction that I have been able, through the process of growing and maturing in my faith, to being able to say, oh, that was God. Ooh, that's God. I have missed it and learned it was God. I have made it and learned it was God. And missing it and learning it was God was still important, because it let me know, that was God. Next time he speaks like that, I know what I'm going to do. And so, you know, sometimes you got to miss it in order to make it, but I have been led by the Lord in my heart. Didn't hear an audible voice. Somebody say, how you know it was God? Because of what happened as a result of when I acted out on what I felt like he told me to do. See, sometimes Christians mess up folk and scare them, because some folk whose words and counsel carry no weight, the only thing they know to do is show up in people's life and say, God told me to tell you. And you knew when you heard it that ain't no way God in heaven told that person to tell you that. And then so you figured that if that's hearing from God, I don't want to ever hear from him, because that's just crazy. You wouldn't believe the stuff people have told me that God told them to tell me. I'm like, no, I know him. He didn't tell you to tell me that. So some people just will use that because their words don't carry any weight whatsoever. So everything's got to be the Lord told me to tell you. You know, you need to get safe with that when you're counseling other people and say, look, I feel led to share this with you, and then let it be what it be. Amen. All right. And because you need to practice on yourself before you try to give the word to somebody else. It's amazing how many people are ready to tell everybody else, God told me to tell you, and you hadn't macked out on what he told you to do yet. So why don't you go rehearse what you're hearing? Let's see if it's working for you. And then you come back and tell me what the Lord told me to tell you. Me. Because I can't figure out how in the world he just told you what I need to do with my husband and your marriage is a wreck. So I ain't got this one figured out yet. How you gonna tell me how I need to raise my kids and your kids are cursing you out? So I don't know if I need to take your words that you heard from God when they obviously have not worked for you. You ain't got to tell them all that. I just told them all that for you. All right, Matthew chapter 11. You get there, say amen. All right, watch verse 13. He says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. So Jesus here is speaking of John the Baptist, and he's saying, here he is. The prophets told you that he was coming. The word told you that he was coming. Here he is come. Verse 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here is a man that came in the spirit of Elijah, John the Baptist, that was sent by God. God said he was going to send him. Here he is. And Jesus said, some of you won't receive what he's saying because you don't have an ear to hear. So there are people that God will send in your life to speak into your life and to give counsel to your life and direction to your life. But if you don't have an ear to hear, you'll miss that person was planted in your life by God. Now watch this, because look at what goes on to happen here. Verse 16. He said, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. Now, if someone is playing the pipe and no one's dancing, then the pipe's not getting any recognition because there's no response. He's saying, I liken this generation to one that the children said, look, we piped, but you didn't dance. Did you not hear the piping? Did you not hear the music? Why didn't you dance? He says here, we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. In both cases, he's saying, you didn't recognize what was right in front of you. You didn't respond to what was in front of you. Verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying here, the voice came, the word came, but you didn't recognize it. You didn't respond. You know, I feel like we need to, and I'm going to show this to you here in a minute in Hebrews 5. We've got to get to a place where we're exercising our faith. And don't start on something real big. You've got to start acting on the small things and begin to build up your faith and your confidence in when God is leading you. Many people don't want to hear from God until they get ready to make this massive decision. And you say, okay, do you feel like the Lord has directed you in any other area of your life? Well, no, but this was big. I need him. Well, you definitely need him, but it sure would be good if you knew it was him talking before you just act. Do you think the Lord could have, like, warmed you up and let you know what he sounded like before you, you know, invested everything in this? It seemed to me like, you know, the first thing, and I know this may have worked for some, but it wasn't me. The first thing I told Chrissy wasn't, marry me. You know, I just asked her on a simple little date, you see what I'm saying? Casual. She turned me down on the first date. I couldn't understand that. How you going to turn me down? Woman, what's up with this? You know, my mind, I didn't say it. I was thinking, like, how you going to turn me down? But she turned me down. 10 weeks, she turned me down. 10 consecutive weeks, and I just kept on, you know, seeking you shall find. Knocking the door shall be open. I didn't quit. I felt like I'd heard from God, and after 11 weeks, I might have doubted, but the 10th week, she came on through. Thank you, Jesus. But I remember asking around on Friday night, I said, okay, maybe it's too heavy. So I came back, and I said, hey, how about lunch tomorrow? A lunch date, daylight, middle of the day. We can have coffee at Starbucks. Let's do it real simple. Turn me down with that, too. I didn't start off, hey, marry me and have my 4 children. So, hey, let's go out to eat. Eventually, we went on a date. That led to conversation, and then it built up, and her confidence in me, and showing that I was a man of integrity, and communicating so she could see my character. And then now, confidence grew to the point when I said, hey, would you marry me? Now she's ready to step out and say, absolutely. Come on, somebody. She didn't say that, but. That's funny. So, my point is, that you need to hear from God before you make a life-changing decision and you don't have any voice recognition up to that point. All right? So start practicing with little things. Lord, I need your direction on this. Lord, lead me in this. All right, now, let me show you a couple more things here. Come over with me to the book of Hebrews. And I want to go to the fifth chapter. I'm going to wrap this up here in just a minute. We'll pick it up next week. Really want to ease into this. And then we're going to build on this by showing you how to recognize God's voice, how to know you're hearing from God based on content and character. Why the emphasis on content and character? Because unlike the voice of man that you hear through your outer ear, the voice of God is heard in your inner ear. So there's got to be some confidence and some knowledge of the content and the character of God's voice. I've had plenty of people to tell me things they felt like God told them. And I knew in my spirit would just check. I mean, immediately be just check. And it'd be like, no, and reject it. That's not from me. And it'd be in my heart. And they would just be as sincere as ever. God told me to tell you. I feel led of the Lord. The Spirit told me. And I'd be like, I'm getting a check in my spirit like, that ain't what he's telling me. I mean, you may have heard that for you, but I'm not hearing that in my heart. And I wouldn't say, you flat out wrong. No, I'm just like, you know, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. I'll take that into prayer. But in my heart, I'm getting a check. Because, listen, I've been hearing his voice. And this isn't lining up, but yet at other times I've had people to speak into my life and it would confirm what I thought God was saying. And I'd be like, man, that's a, then I'd say confirmation. And it'd be a confirmation because I would get a check in my spirit that's in agreement with what I've been leading and what I've been telling you. And so now by the content of the voice, I'm being able to say, okay, that's God and he's leading me. And you need to know the content of God's voice and so that you can judge it, especially when other people are trying to give you counsel that goes against the will of God. So it's not like you're hearing an outer voice, you know, an external voice that you can just recognize. You need to know the content of the Spirit of God. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth that's come to lead and guide us into all truth. But when you don't know truth, you don't know when you're hearing the Spirit of Truth. This word will reveal to you the content of the voice of God. You'll be able to weigh that voice by its content and say, I know that's God because it lines up with his word. But if you don't know his word, then how can you judge that thought or that unction? How can you judge it by content when you don't even know this God you say you just heard from? That's why we've got to have his word. Now watch this in Hebrews 5. If you're there, say amen. Now, let's look at it in verse number 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, muscle-building protein. You hear me? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What does it mean, unskillful? When it means you've not developed a skill. It'd be like using a new tool, going on a new job, operating new software, doing something you've never done before. The first time you do it, a little unskilled in it. The more you do it, the more skill that gets developed. He says the new believer that's on the milk of the word is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That babe has got to reach maturity. And for some of you, that may be where you're at right now in your walk with God. It doesn't have anything to do with your physical age, whether you're 22, 44, or 88. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Your maturity in Christ is based on your ability to hear and respond to his word. And so think about how you would treat an infant or your child that's the toddler that's growing up. You're not having this long conversation with a toddler about the do's and don'ts of life or the birds and the bees. No, with the toddler, you're saying yes and no. As a matter of fact, they may be so immature because of their age that you're not even using good English yet. They're touching that figurine on the coffee table, and you're not saying no because they're not at no yet. So you say, And now they're moving a hand back, and that's working for you. So you're like, okay, and then when they're doing the right thing, you're being soft. But basically, this infant or this toddler is just getting stuff like, that's okay, yes, and then, no, we don't do that. And you're using body language, and you're using tone, no. And man, you're shaking your head and doing all kind of stuff. You can't do that. But that's infant. All they get is, yes, this is okay, and no, we don't do that. Do you know that's many believers today? Because they've never developed in God's word. All they ever hear is, yes, yes, that's okay. And no, don't do that. But I'm here to tell you that God's got more to tell you than yes and no. He's got a whole lot more than yes and no. Now, when I first got saved, that was all I knew was yes and no. You know, somebody invited me to church. I'm like, I don't want to go to church. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, better go. And I go, yeah. And then somebody invite me somewhere else. Why aren't y'all quiet? And I'd be like, no. Because the Holy Spirit in me said, no, you saved. You ain't going there. You're not going to do that. And so when I was early in my faith, all I really heard from God was yes and then no. But imagine being saved 20 years and all you still hear is yes and no. I need more direction than yes and no. But that's a part of growing up. It's a part of recognition. It's a part of maturity. And he's saying here that when you're a babe, you're on the milk of his word, and you're like the infant. You're like the toddler. All God can communicate is a yes and a no. That's good. That's evil. But there's so much more. There's so much more than yes and no. Christianity is not about a list of yeses and a list of noes. It's not about do's and don'ts. There's a relationship that God wants to have with you. He wants to order your steps. He wants to lead you. He wants to tell you which house to buy. He wants to tell you who to marry. He wants to tell you, you know, what career choice. He wants to tell you what church you ought to be in. There's so much more that God wants to do that yes and no won't cut. I don't know of anything that's brought God glory in my life that's been beneficial to my life that I didn't hear from him. I was pumping gas in a delivery van at a Chevron station in Ruston, Louisiana. I remember exactly where I was. My wife and the kids were coming back from Mississippi, and we stopped by that Chevron station. They had tore the old building down and built a new one, but it was still a Chevron station. And I said, right there is where I was in this area, at that intersection. I was standing there pumping gas, and I heard just so clearly in my heart that I was to start a ministry and call it Word of God Ministries. I remember it like it was yesterday. I jumped in my van. I grabbed a yellow notepad, a legal notepad, and I wrote it down, Word of God Ministries, and it resonated in my spirit, and I prayed over it for a year and 4 months, and Word of God Ministries is here. I can tell you exactly where I was. Well, you just had a thought. Yeah, it was a thought, all right. Time proves whether or not you heard from God. Even if I questioned it then, time has proven it was God. Here we are. There was a day when I ran into my wife, who was not my wife. We had went on one date finally, and I was behind her on Burt Coons, and she pulled into Raceway gas station, and I saw that little red Civic, and I was in hot pursuit, like goodness and mercy had been following me. I followed her right into that gas station. She pulled in a bay to get some gas. I pulled into the next bay, got out of my green Chevy S10, was walking over to her vehicle, and I heard in my spirit, give her something. And I didn't have nothing. I didn't know what I was going to give her. I went back to my truck, looked all around. All I could find was a message I had preached, because I was always giving people messages. And I found this message, and she said it walking. I said, wait. She said, what are you doing? I said, just wait. She said, what are you up to? I said, I got to give you something. I gave her the thing, and she said, "What's this?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "All I know is God just told me to give you something." I said, "Matter of fact, that ain't even enough. I'm going in to pay for your gas." She said, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "I don't know. I just know I got to give you something." I ran in there and paid for her gas. Later, after we were married, she told me that morning, she got up in prayer, and she prayed, and she said, "Lord God, if I am to continue in this relationship with James A. McManus, I need to know this is you, because I don't want to go down this path if it's not you. So today, I need to see him. And when I see him, it cannot be at the hospital, because I'm a nurse at a hospital, and he makes hospital visits as a pastor. So it can't be at the hospital. I got to see him somewhere other than the hospital. And I need him to give me something. And if I see him outside the hospital and he gives me something, then I will continue in this relationship." She didn't tell me that till after we were married. So I know I heard from God that day. So I've just told you two things that are in my life. Word of God Ministries and Chrissy Lafitte are in my life because a voice in my heart said, "Do this." You can't tell me that we can't hear from God. You can hear from God if you'll just get to a place that you'll recognize and be sensitive to his voice. That's a whole lot more than yes and no. You can't get a Word of God Ministries out of yes or no. You don't get a Chrissy Lafitte out of yes or no. And there are things that God wants to put in your life that are bigger than yes and no. We got to get there. So watch this. Verse 14. Last verse, I'm closing. I'm going to be out 4 hours before midnight. What you say? "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." That just means maturity. "Even those who by reason of use, you will not know the voice of God until you get accustomed to it based on its content." Somebody say, "You know, Johnny told me to tell you." You're like, "Wait a minute, Johnny?" "Yeah, Johnny." And then you call the last name. "Johnny, yeah, that's him. He told me to tell you." You're like, "No, I've been knowing Johnny all my life. Johnny would never say that." And somebody, now you know somebody lying on Johnny. You ask me and you say, "Johnny, yeah." And you say, "Wait a minute, you mean the boy that grew up over there on, yeah, him. One we went to school with? Yeah. Johnny, that Johnny told you to tell me." "Yep." "No, you lying on Johnny." I've been knowing Johnny many years. We went to school together. We used to play together. I've been knowing Johnny. Talked to Johnny just last week. Johnny said nothing about that. Well, you got to be the same way about Jesus. You got to be the same way about God. When you have a relationship with him and when you're praying to him daily and you're in his word daily and you're in his worship, you develop a relationship with God. And then when somebody steps in your life and say, "God told me to tell you," like, "Wait a minute, God, the one that made the heaven and earth?" "Oh, yeah, you mean the Father of Jesus Christ?" "Yeah, wait, the one that sent the Holy Ghost?" "Yeah, he told you to tell me." "Yeah, you're lying on God." "Well, I just talked to that God earlier today. He didn't say nothing about that." See, that's maturity. He said, "Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use." See, that's how you create skill, by reason of use. You get into his word. By reason of use, have their senses. So you got five basic senses. And the Lord can use those five basic senses, but he can give you a sixth one. And that's his voice. I sense the Lord. Okay? He says, by reason of use, have their senses what? Exercise. So that means I got to practice. If you don't ever get any exercise, you won't build any strength. That's why I'm trying to tell you, you need to hear from God on little stuff or you try to hear from him on something big. You need to exercise. Get your spiritual ear developed. Recognize when it wasn't him and recognize when it is. He says, "Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So now I have such discernment as a result of my use of his word and my exercising his word. You're not going to know his voice if you're not in his word. His word is going to show you the content and the character the content and the character of his voice. And then that's not all. We're going to go a step further, because I want to show you not only what getting in his word will do in regard to hearing his voice. I want to show you what getting into worship will do when it comes to hearing his voice. Because the place of worship eliminates all other voices. So it's a preview of where we're going for the next few weeks. I'm going to set this one up and I'm going to close. Max Lucado wrote a book years ago called Cosmic Christmas. And in this book, he gives the story. It's not real. It's not a literal story. But he's painting the picture of what it might have been like when God sent the seed to Mary. And so in this story, an angel has the vial of the seed of God, and the angel is to bring this vial to Mary, and that vial is going to be Jesus. And Satan's trying to stop the woman from getting the seed, the vial, in this story, all right? It's called the Cosmic Christmas. And so on the way, on the journey, the angel going to Mary, this fallen angel meets him. It's a fallen angel. And he says to this angel, he says, look, God told me to tell you to give me that vial. And he was accustomed to this angel at one point in history being very high ranked, much higher ranked than him. And he says, wait a minute, you're fallen. You know, I can't listen to you. And the angel says, oh no, I never betrayed God. This was all a test for you, just to see if you would carry out the assignment. It's over. Me and God, we're together. He sent me to you and told me to get this vial from you. This is in the story. Well, this angel that was sent to carry the word to Jesus in the story says, okay, well, if you're really on the side of God, then you know the latest praise, the songs we've just learned in heaven. So I'm going to sing and give praise to God. And if you've really converted, then you will sing and praise with me. And so he began to sing and to praise God, and the fallen angel fleed. I love that story, and that's one of my favorite parts in that story. The point that that story makes, and it's a biblical one, is that Satan will never participate in your worship. So if you feel like, Lord, am I hearing from you? Who is this? You need to get into the place of worship, because it is in the place of worship that you will eliminate every other voice except the voice of God. That's why worship is so important. When you get into worship, only God will meet you there. Satan won't join in with you on your praise. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And no matter how in tune you think your ear is with God, you still need consistent worship, because there's so many voices of distraction in this world. In worship, all distraction is removed. It is just me and the Lord, and now I can hear from him, and now he's hearing from me, and there is no distraction in my life. Worship is a huge part of hearing the voice of God. Amen. So we got all that coming up. That was just a preview for the next few weeks. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the promise of your word, that your sheep know your voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So, Father, I pray tonight for every believer assembled here, all those watching this live feed right now, that God, beginning in this very moment, that you would give us an ear to hear. That, Lord, you would give us the ability to recognize your voice above all the voices that are in the world. God, I thank you for developing us in spiritual maturity to know the content of your voice, to know the character of your voice. God, I pray that our relationship with your word intensify. Lord, that we would seek your word like we've never done before. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. That you speak to us through your word. Your Spirit amplifies Your Word. His Word will get you in the right place, church, but His voice will give you the specifics. You can't skip His Word and want to go straight to His voice. In the Greek, His Word is either called the Rhema or the Logos. The Logos is the written word. The Rhema is the spoken word. You can't skip the Logos and want to rely and live solely on the Rhema. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, in every case, Jesus said, "It is written." It is written. He knew the Logos. He was able to weigh what Satan was saying against the content of the Word of God. And he knew that was not God. We have to know His written word. The more you get into His word, the more sensitive you're going to become to His voice. I want to give you a challenge that starting tomorrow morning, or you can begin tonight, every day you're going to read from the Old Testament. You're going to read something from the New Testament. You're going to read a psalm, and you're going to read a proverb. Every day, it read at least one verse from the old, one verse from the new, a psalm and a proverb. If you just make that a part of getting in His Word, start conditioning. Lord, I want to know the content of Your Word. I want to know the content of Your voice. I want to know the character of Your voice. And above all, you've got to get to a place of worship. Why drive down the road and listen to something that will not build up your spirit and not will engage you in the presence of God? You can worship in church, you can worship in your car, you can worship in your home, but if you want to drown out all the voices in the world, I'm telling you, that place of worship will eliminate every other voice. It's a place you can hear God clearly and freely. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe You love me, that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for my sins. I ask that You forgive me and that You cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I ask right now that You give me an ear to hear, that You would order my steps in Your Word. I thank You by faith that I am Your sheep. You are my shepherd. I know Your voice. I do not recognize the voice of strangers. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.